We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll finish off chapter 3 and get into the first couple of verses in chapter 4. Today, the church world, i.e., Christians, we can get caught up into what we call worldly wisdom. And we can find ourselves being modern-day philosophers. We can be looking to psychologists and their mind-bending theories. But perhaps the greatest deception that I think comes from the world today is man is basically good. I beg your pardon. Man is basically sinful. And they write songs about there's a little bit of good in each of us, and our very human nature is we want to live good, productive lives, and our tendency, we're prone to live out a life of good behavior. This entitles us in our thinking to a happy, successful life. Tell that to the Ukrainians as Russia invades them. Putin is a cruel, murderous tyrant. Yet all the free world can seem to manage to do is put sanctions on Russia, trying to punish them financially. Yet our gas prices increase. Meantime, Russia continues to commit war crimes against the Ukrainians. They're bombing apartment buildings, they're killing civilians, they're targeting even orphanages and children, and it's all because the Ukrainians will not fall into Moscow's ideology. Modern free nations and its people, we can look upon the Russian invasion as only an inconvenience. It doesn't really affect us. And we can dismiss the fact that many Ukrainians are dying for no apparent reason. We also live in a world where the truth about the COVID-19 pandemic is surrounded with misinformation. Wouldn't you love to just get a straightforth assessment of what's really going on? I don't trust the news media, flat out tell you. Who knows what to believe from our medical community in their talking political heads? This COVID-19 virus happens to be a big money maker for the medical field. And we, the citizens of a free nation, can't help but be left wondering, where is the truth in this whole epidemic issue? On the war issue, where's justice? Our economy, we see that money trumps over everything. And how about the latest one? I'm sorry, I don't understand LGBTQ. Somebody explain. No, I can't go there. So if you're concerned about truth, in what is being pushed upon us, the whole issue, then you're like me. I don't buy into these TV preachers who can only talk about all that you should be. You're God's child. You should be successful. You should have things. And you're to prosper because you're a believer. Many times we see a person come to Christ and they go into immediate trials. That's the way life is. So let's look at what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Speaking of believers, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, of things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Paul is being a little sarcastic towards the Corinthians. The Corinthians esteemed themselves very wise in the world they lived in. And they were the educated of that part of the Middle East, you might say. For the Corinthians, they were wise, streetwise in their own thinking. But Paul, he will say many times throughout the New Testament, we're not to think of ourselves higher or above one another. Paul says, hey, it's a level playing field. And if we're not careful, we can become puffed up in a church, as a church. Calvary Chapel is not immune to this. We're known to be students of the Word. Line upon line teaching. And we can dress down or dress up. It doesn't matter. It's not what you wear. And it's not a sign of intelligence if you happen to wear Levi's to church. Just saying. But Paul takes the lofty ideas of the Corinthians, how they're wise in their own eyes, and he takes it seriously. And he says it's better to become a fool so we can become wise. In God's evaluation of believers, it's more worthy to be called a fool in worldly wisdom, for God looks upon the wisdom of the world as foolishness. As foolishness. And its craftiness, it's futile. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So we have to ask, why do we cherish, why do we heap up glorious speaking spiritual leaders who spout out the wisdom of man? Why are the mega churches drawn to this well-speaking, worldly wisdom preachers? It's a good question. The Corinthians, they esteem Paul, Apollos, and Cephas as chosen apostles. And had the wrong page. We'll get to the right. And Paul, he goes on to say, though, let no one glory in men. Paul is esteemed by the Corinthians, And it's been said of Paul that he was one of the best minds to ever exist. Somebody somewhere said he was the sixth best mind in mankind. That's pretty lofty, being in the top 10 even. But basically, Paul says, humble yourselves before God, for we are all fellow workers in God's kingdom. And each of us is at a different place in our walk with the Lord. We're each in a different place of maturity in his kingdom. And how much better is it to be considered a servant of Christ and finding my place in the body of Christ? But Paul, he will give further instructions, and that comes in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before its time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of hearts. Then each one prays will come from God. Let God be your motivating judge of everything we do. Verse 1 there, it says, be a servant, be a steward. Paul will describe his servant position, and he uses not the common word doulos, but he uses the word hypersetes. Hypersetes is a servant that is functioning as a free man, or a slave with the liberties. That's how Paul describes a servant. A hyperkletos is a man who is still a slave, but who other slaves look to for guidance. A steward now, we're familiar with what a steward means, and it further indicates a slave of distinction or a master slave. So a steward has a position as a master slave. Paul, he's a slave of honor to the mysteries of God. Paul is a teacher and a writer of God's mysteries. When we realize that Paul wrote probably half of the New Testament, it's good for us to listen to Paul. Paul is called to preserve and to protect the truth of God. And we know of Paul's conversion, how he persecuted the early church, and then he met the Lord on his way to Damascus, and he had a great turnaround in his life. But Paul is a faithful steward. He's called by God to his position as an apostle. And he's therefore a steward, a proclaimer of God's word. A steward is not an owner per se. He doesn't own much. He's a messenger. And Paul is a manager of his master, Jesus Christ, mysteries and resources. Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, he would give a teaching at some of the conferences or at his fellowship, and he would say, take this teaching, use it, apply it, for it's now yours. It's not mine, it's ours. For it's a truth of edification for all who are believers. The teachings of a good steward is often linked to what we consider giving, money. And if we use the term steward correctly, we're simply in charge of what God has given to us into our care, and money or wealth is just one of those things. Now, we attempt here at Calvary to be good stewards as a church of how God has blessed us financially in this lovely building. It's metal, but it's still lovely. And our 5 acres back here at the end of Teresa Drive, a little haven at the end of the road. We recently upgraded our lights. They're all LED now. No neon lights in here. We have LED lights. We have a playground for our kids and a gazebo for picnics and so forth. And we have a gravel parking lot. Don't you love our gravel parking lot? Yeah. But we have a little money in savings in the bank. And God has blessed our attempts to be good stewards over money. And we try to be worthy, faithful givers to ministries that we agree with. HPRC, I used to know them as, well, Choose Life, Save a Life. I liked it better when that was their name. But it's a local ministry here in Huntsville area that counsel pregnant mothers to have their babies. And we give faithfully into that, and we have for years, and hopefully we'll continue. But a good ministry. Another ministry that we got into about a year or so ago was One for Israel. It's a Jewish ministry in Israel dedicated to evangelizing Jews that Jesus is their Messiah. Good company, good ministry. And we attempt to funnel our monies into Christian needs. Recently, we gave some money to the Ukraine effort because we know several families via other families that are in the Ukraine ministering. And so we want to help them if we can. And we try to be faithful with the church funds, which is nothing more than your giving. It's your giving into our cause. We try to do things in a respectable, worthy way to show our stewardship. And it's a basic belief here, you can't outgive God, so we try to give back into the things of God. But I think it's critical that we be faithful in the things are the mysteries of God, not just our monies. We as people, we need to encourage one another. We need to be speaking about what we believe and the hope of what we believe that we have. We live in a world where discouragement or the lack of hope through war, through famine, it's all around us. All you got to do is open your eyes, watch the evening news, and realize we live in a hurting, suffering world. Now, I am not in favor of hoarding, gathering more than you need. But, you know, to have a few groceries on the shelves in case of shortage, that just might be common sense. I'm not saying we should form a compound of guns and ammo, and many are doing that out of fear. There are a lot of people afraid today. But you know, when it comes down to it, if someone were to come to me needing food, I can't say no. I can't say, hey, that's for me and not for you. I can't do that. If I have the capacity to help, I feel I must help. But there's nothing wrong with being prudent, storing up a few necessities for our future use. Help your neighbors. Feed the hungry. Give them hope in Jesus. And you'll be found a faithful servant, a faithful steward. When you give those around you hope, you're doing the will of God. And there are, I believe, many shortages, and they're starting to crop up all around us. I read one report that says, how long before America experiences food shortages? Well, this COVID virus caused food shortages in many of the grocery stores. But they're cropping up. Things are getting desperate around us. And we're to be wise. We're to be giving. We're to be storing up for tomorrow's needs and be giving out of those things we've stored up. I don't believe in hoarding. I really don't. So be a giver. A giver of God's mysteries and a giver of basic needs to your neighbors, to your friends, to your world. Be a good steward, for God calls us to that. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.